today and next week, since son Ryan's gone, Minnesota, Christie's family, I'm going to be teaching about a bad word. Bad word in Christian circles. The bad word in Christian circles is the word Baptist. The word Baptist. So that's one of the bad words. The other bad word in Christian circles right now is King James Bible. So these are bad words. If you use these words, you are a hateful, narrow-minded bigot.
Right.
That's what you are.
Right.
I mean, that's been given among Christians and so on. So we want to talk about one of these bad words. And so I want to talk about, in the next 2 weeks, why we are Baptist. Why are we Baptist? So our church, of our name of our church is Bible Baptist Church. So each one of those words are significant. We use the Bible here. That's King James Bible, by the way. We and we call this a church because it's an assembly of baptized believers that have organized together by the grace of God. Back there in 2009, we have the names of the individuals that signed on up there in the wall when we first started the church. And we're Baptist because the Bible requires us to be named and identify with Baptist. All right, so I'm going to have a handout here in just a second, but I want to mention along with this some books that these are relatively simple books, but they're books about some famous individuals that were Baptists in history. Most of them were after Reformation. Now, most of us could say, well, I've heard of names in the past of religious people such as Martin Luther. Everybody's heard of Martin Luther. And I've heard of John Calvin. Everybody's heard of John Calvin. And some may have heard of Zwingli. And then Henry VIII of the Anglican Church and so on. But how many of you have heard of some of these outstanding Baptists of the past? Now, we're not worshiping men, but we want to recognize there have been men in the past who have been identified as Baptists and have served the Lord. So I've got 10 booklets here. These are really very easy to read, but they give a brief history of some of these individuals. Some of them were contributed to American history and so on. Now, if you're interested, I'm going to mention some of these. If you're interested in reading one of these, you've got a two-week turnaround. You've got a sign-up sheet here. So I've got a sign-up sheet here, 2 weeks. Now, you could read one of these books in an hour. All right, but they are thorough. So this would be good for anyone who's unfamiliar with them, homeschooled children, young people, and so on. So let me mention some of these, and then you can read about them. So one is, so there's 10 volume set. One is John Clark. So John Clark started the First Baptist Church in America. You know that? Over there in Rhode Island. John Clark. All right. Another is Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes was a Baptist pastor who was imprisoned and beaten by the Congregational Church for his view on baptism, believer's baptism versus infant baptism. Obadiah Holmes. He was beaten. All right. John Leland. John Leland was one of the Baptist pastor who was involved in helping secure the First Amendment. Did you know that? John Leland, Baptist. There's a marker in the Virginia of him. Samuel Harris was a great evangelistic Baptist preacher in Virginia. Shubal Stearns was born here in Connecticut. He eventually went down the South, and he was involved in planning about him and his church, and those who followed him were involved planting about 1,000 Baptist churches in the South. That's where the pocket for Baptist churches came from. Samuel Stearns, the Baptist pastor coming out of Connecticut. So then there's William Carey, who was a great missionary to India. We have John Taylor, another famous preacher. We have John Gaynell. John Gaynell was George Washington's chaplain. There is strong evidence that John Gaynell baptized by immersion George Washington in his lifetime. Now, he's listed in Wikipedia as Episcopalian or something like that, but John Gaynell was his chaplain, and good indication that George Washington had a profession of faith and was baptized by immersion by John Gaynell. So, and Isaac McCoy was a missionary to the Indians in America, the Sioux Indians. And then James Ireland was a pastor in Ireland who as well suffered a brutal persecution by the Anglican Church. And so these are individuals who, and most of their battles were over baptism. Is it infant baptism that saves, Catholic Church and Protestantism teaches? Or was it believer's baptism that authenticates an individual's personal testimony of identifying with Christ? So there's the big issue here. So these books are available if you want one, but they wouldn't take long, but they're my books, so I don't want them lost, got my name in them, and so on, but you're free to read them. And if you wanted, somebody really interested could read all 10 of them over a process of time, but you could read any one of these books in 1 hour and gain a lot of detail and have an identification. All right, so now we have a handout. So why we are Baptist? Why we are Baptist? All right, so we'll get this going around. That holes in it, 3 holes, so might want to stick that in a book, a 3-hole ring. I just want to do that. So while you're turning there, we can turn to Matthew chapter 3. All right, so we've got several points here. The person of John the Baptist, the prophecy of John the Baptist, the passion of John the Baptist, and the practice of John the Baptist. How's that for 4 P's? Just can't help it. All right. In all this, so we start off with first reference here, John the Baptist, in chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So here's how the New Testament starts off, John the Baptist. And we see first reference to his name. And so the scripture, the Lord gave him this name, Baptist. Gave him this name, Baptist. So it's a biblical name. And it relates to what he was doing. And so John the Baptist. So, there's no reference to the name Baptist in the Old Testament. There was no practice of baptism in the Old Testament. Now, there were washings, but the washings were ongoing, numerous washings on a regular basis. That's not baptism. So, there's no antecedent to baptism in the Old Testament. John the Baptist started the movement. He's not fulfilling the Baptist movement coming out of the Old Testament. John the Baptist was not of the Old Testament. Baptism was not of the Old Testament. Baptism is of the New Testament era. So John the Baptist came, and he's preaching in the wilderness. And so here we see reference, should be 3:1, not 3:11, but 3:11 talks about his practice there. Anyway, in the passage, we'll come back to this, but notice, for instance, verse 3 talks about a prophecy concerning him. And verse 6 tells us that multitudes were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So in this, several points can be made. We'll make these further as well. That baptize, so the word baptize means immerse. And in the Jordan River, and confessing their sins. So baptism required the confession of sins. This is prior to baptism. So they're baptized in the Jordan. Later on, we see the Lord, or John rather, required repentance prior to baptism. So here we see verse 8, repentance. The Pharisees needed to bring forth repentance before he would baptize them. So confessing sins, repentance, all pre-baptism. Very clear here, very clear here. No baby baptism, no baptism for salvation. Very clear. And then we have in verse 13 following, we have the Lord's baptism. So the Lord submitted himself to the forerunner. So John the Baptist is the forerunner. So we have two important individuals, obviously, in the New Testament, the forerunner to the Messiah and the Messiah. And they were dovetailed together in Scripture and so on. So here we see the Lord was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Verse 16 says, and when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So if you look back there in verse 6, it says that he was baptizing in Jordan. That's in Jordan water, in. And the Lord Jesus went up straightway. So in and straightway sounds like immersion, right? Now, I went to Bob Jones University, Protestant school, and so on. And they've got a picture there of a John the Baptist pouring water on the Lord's head in the Jordan River. What a bunch of nonsense. No way that he would be going up. Is he going straightway up to hit the water that's being poured out over his head? Absolutely wrong perspective on that. So Scripture's very clear here. And by the way, the Lord's... God the Father said in verse 17, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So God the Father was well pleased when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by the forerunner of him in the Jordan River and was immersed and became a candidate for, or not a candidate, but one who fulfilled all righteousness by being baptized. Now, what would you call somebody if they're an expert in law? Probably a lawyer, right? What would you call somebody who was an expert in nursing people? A nurse. What would you call somebody who was an expert in doctoring people up physically? A doctor. What would you call somebody who has been baptized? Think real hard. Why would you call somebody who's been baptized? Oh, a Baptist. Oh, phew, wow. Pulled that one out. Thank you. All right. So is baptism a bad word? No, it is. It's a noun, to be baptized, the verb. And to be called a Baptist, John the Baptist was called a Baptist, and the Lord was well pleased when the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, became a Baptist. All right, and so we should not be ashamed of the word Baptist. We shouldn't let the naysayers who hate the word Baptist, why would they hate the word Baptist? Well, and they're thinking, the Baptists are so narrow. They won't allow us to enjoy the worldly pleasures. So we don't want to be a Baptist. You think all these churches around here and throughout the country, throughout the world, they're changing their name. We're the Grace Church, or we're this or that, or something out, Point Church, or whatever, all kinds of nouns, but do not use the word Baptist. I mean, there's a movement. Amen. You've got to be aware of the movement. And so if we want more people We could do away with the name Baptist. But we're not interested in compromising the Word of God for people. Amen. Follow that? So, we started our church out in my home. And we had 27 people. And started our church. But if we never were able to rent a building like this, we'd be still meeting in homes. We're not interested in the crowd. We're interested in being able to present the Word of God, the truth, people. Amen. We're interested in people who want truth. Amen. You want truth? You find it here. Why? Is that because I'm truth? No, that's because we open the Word of truth and teach the Word of truth. Amen. If you want programs and popularity and people loving you because you go to the big mega church, go somewhere else. It's not what we're about. So we're going to use this narrow name. And now, when I'm long gone, Bible Baptist Church better stay with the name.
Amen.
Baptist, all right? Amen. So some of you young bucks around here, keep that in mind. All right. So anyway, we've made a position on right away. That's who we are. All right, so so we're looking here. Let's look at another passage about John the Baptist. This is in chapter 11. John the Baptist. So here, John's in prison. He sends two of his disciples to the Lord. And I believe he has some uncertainty at this point, so he needs to be encouraged by the Lord. And the disciples say in verse 3:11:3, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? In other words, John wants to know, is the Lord Jesus, is this Jesus of Nazareth the real Messiah? Or did I make a mistake? I'm in prison. I'm questioning things at the end of my life. And so how did the Lord answer? He answered with Scripture and the fact that he is fulfilling Scripture. When he said in verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have gospel preached unto them, and so on. So here he's citing Isaiah 61 and other passages out of Isaiah. And so if John has seen Jesus of Nazareth do these things, this should confirm in his heart that Jesus of Nazareth is fulfilling the Old Testament Scripture. And so the Lord didn't say, yes, I'm the Messiah. Right. Anybody can say that. Right. He said, look at me. Yep. Look at what I'm doing. Am I fulfilling Scripture or not?
Right.
All right. So anyway, the Lord now gives a eulogy of John. It says in verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. And so here he cites in verse 10, Malachi 3:1, one of the two prophecies. Now notice verse 11. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now there's one exception. Oh, there's one exception. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So first of all, notice the language that he uses. He says, born of women. He doesn't say born of men, but born of women. Secondly, none greater than John the Baptist. However, there is one greater. And so the language here is, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now we want to focus on the greater than he. So, the greater than he, so who's the greater than he? Well, keep in mind the expression greater here, greater than he. If you look over there in chapter 12, so remember Scripture interprets Scripture. So in greater in Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, here we have the Lord saying, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. So, in the context here, who is greater than the temple? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, but that's not all. Let's look over there in 1241. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they are, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So who's speaking? It's the Lord Jesus. He's the one greater than Jonah, right? Jesus greater than Jonah? Amen. All right, okay. He's in the midst preaching to these. See, he's condemning his audience because the Ninevites, the pagan Gentile Ninevites, repented under Jonah's preaching, but his own generation won't repent of Jesus' teaching, and right. Jesus is greater than Jonah. But that's not all. Let's notice verse 42. And the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment of this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So who's greater than Jonah? The one speaking, the Lord Jesus. Who's the greater than Solomon? The one speaking, Solomon. Who's the one greater than John the Baptist that was born of a woman? Lord Jesus Christ. So of all mankind, that's what the Lord's saying. Of all mankind, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, why was he greater than all mankind except the Lord? Because he's the forerunner right. to the Messiah. That was his role in life. He was a chosen one to be the forerunner. Now, John is not the Savior. John didn't save us. We're not worshiping John. We're worshiping the one that John, to which John was the forerunner. The Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, but you think of that. So why wouldn't we want to identify with the greatest man who ever lived other than the Lord himself and the title given to him? Who's against this? See, who's against this? So that means John the Baptist was greater than Peter. John the Baptist was greater than Paul. John the Baptist was greater than Luther. Wait a minute, what? John the Baptist was greater than Calvin. John the Baptist was greater than Billy Graham. I mean, think of this. Are you staying with me? John the Baptist is greater than you, and he's greater than me. All right? Who's the greatest? So why wouldn't we want the title given to the greatest man who ever lived and who was the forerunner to the Messiah? Why would we not want his title? You follow that? Who's against this? Satan's against this. So we're not just saying this is a great tradition that we've taken a name on because we just like the name. No, we have biblical foundation for calling ourselves Baptist. Amen. Oh, Baptist is a narrow name. Yeah, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to his identity as he began his public ministry. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, Baptist is a narrow name. But it's an honorable name. It's the title given to the greatest man who ever lived outside of Christ. So that means that John the Baptist is greater, let's look in the Old Testament, greater than Abraham. He's greater than, Noah, Moses. He's greater than Jeremiah. So, that's what Scripture says here. Now, I know the other interpretation given by Protestants, because I went to a Protestant school, and that interpretation is he that is least in the kingdom. So, that means the simple little child who's just been saved is greater than John the Baptist. That's not what it's talking about. Now, the word least in the Greek behind this is micros. So micros can mean small or late in time. So notice how it's used in John 7:33. So John 7:33, we have our Greek word micros. John 7:33. And in John 7:33, for instance, 7:33. So doesn't mean just little, but it means little in time. So in John 7:33, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while." See, that's a temporal term. That's a temporal translation. It's a temporal aspect of little. See that? Little time. "In a little time am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." So little in a little while refers to time, least in time. You follow that? It doesn't mean smallest. It means little in time, least in time. So we come back to this. "Notwithstanding, he that is least in time." I'm not changing the King James. I'm trying to expand on it. "He that is least in time," or "in a little time," "he that is in a little time in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So in other words, who is born first? John or Jesus? John. 6 months later, Jesus was born. He was born a little later. You follow that? He was born a little bit later. So that he that is a little, least in time, a little while in time in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So this fits with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can look at both the word least and we can look at the word greater. And contextually we find out this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of woman, and he's greater than John, but no one else is greater than John. But the other interpretation is any little child who's recently been saved is greater than John the Baptist. Not talking about that. That does not fit the context. But that's the popular view of Protestants. Why? Because Protestants, so keep this in mind, I've had to wrangle through this in classrooms in a Protestant seminary, that Protestants want to put John in the Old Testament,
right,
and that John is really a nothing. Because that name just is such a bad name. And it identifies, it possibly could identify a movement in the first century, and we Protestants don't want that because we know when the Lutheran Church started. We know when the Reformed churches started. We know when Zwingli started his movement. Oh, we know when the Catholic Church started, about the 4th century. So we cannot have the name Baptist and use that, because that so much undermines our history and our theology. That's what the Protestants say. I've been through this. Been through this with them. That's their arguments. All right, so we're Bible Baptist Church on purpose. You follow that? Now, and we're doing this because of what Scripture says here. All right, we have other passages. Let's see. Let's look at 14:2. 14:2. So we have Matthew 14:2. "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants," this is John the Baptist, "he is risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." So Herod thinks the man that he beheaded, John the Baptist, walking around, I'm not sure with or without his head, but anyway, he's walking around, and that Jesus is John the Baptist. No. John was John the Baptist, according to Mark, or this passage. Well, we could look there, 14:4. John said, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." So that has to do with the marriage and divorce and remarriage. He died over that doctrine. All right. So then, what else? We have other verses here. Let's look Mark 16, Mark 6 rather, this parallel passage of this, and 24, let's look at 6:24. let's see. Here we have, 6:23 and 24 and 25 rather. So this is when Herodias' daughter had this lewd dancing going on. And so anyway, her mother wanted her to ask for this. So verse 24, and she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in the charger, or as a platter, the head of John the Baptist. And so John was executed here, beheaded for this. And so John had short ministry. He had about 6 month ministry, if you look at chronology and so on. So John had a short ministry. So he would think, how could he be the greatest of all when Moses reigned for 40 years and others, David and Solomon, they reigned for 40 years. How could John, in a short, less than a year ministry, be the greatest? He was the greatest because he was prophesied as the forerunner of the Messiah. That's why he's the greatest. That was his job. That was his job. Short-lived job. And so, the Lord, in John's public ministry, the Lord did not allow John, and as far as we know, John never heard that the Lord Jesus said he was the greatest, but John never was allowed to get puffed up because he was the Messiah's forerunner. The Lord cut his life short. Some of his ministry was in prison. And so the Lord did not allow him to get puffed up over being the greatest of all men. Think of that. And so the Lord was careful in dealing with some of these individuals, just like with Mary. Mary, the mother of the Messiah. Mary, the mother of the Messiah, but the populace thought she was an immoral woman. So she couldn't go around boasting, huh, my son is the Messiah. Oh, no, you're delusional. Now, you're an immoral woman. You've come up with a story. We're told that in John chapter 8. So anyway, the Lord kept these individuals, and he used them in a special way, and then he brought on factors in their lives so they couldn't get puffed up in the privileges they had. See, and that's what the Lord wants with us as well. If we know biblical truth as we go through the Bible here, many, many different books we've gone through, and you individuals know Scripture. The Lord's not going to let you get puffed up over that. By the time you get puffed up over knowing something that you should know, and you've been privileged to know, and talk about myself as well, by the time we get puffed up, Lord has a way to humble us very quickly. And so, but we can learn these things from biblical characters here. All right, so John the Baptist's name shows up a handful of times here. Let's notice secondly the baptism. So what is baptism? Well, baptism is a rite of immersion or dipping or dunking for church membership. Now, in past history, sometimes Baptists were known as dunkers. You're dunkers. Now, keep in mind, from the time of the Catholic Church, 4th century, 300s, and the Council of Nicaea, about 325 and following, from about that time, the Catholic Church baptized babies because they believed in a universal church. And so the idea is in the Roman Empire, the church for the Roman Empire contained everybody in the Roman Empire. So everybody that's born into the Roman Empire, they need to become a member. And once they are born, they need to be baptized, become members into the universal Catholic, that's what Catholic means, universal church. And so they believed in baby baptism, salvation. And the Bible believers here who said, no, wait a minute. Babies can't confess their sins. Baptism is not for salvation. Baptism is not for babies. It's for believers, believer baptism. So that was the big difference between Catholics and Protestants and Baptists in history. It had to do with baptism. Had to do with baptism. And so baptism is a practice, but it's also a theological word that has roots to it. And so it's the rite of immersion for membership, church membership. It authenticates the individual. Authenticates. Even the Lord Jesus was authenticated by the forerunner. Baptism authenticates. Authenticates that somebody is identifying with Jesus Christ as Messiah and their Savior. That's what baptism does. It authenticates. And it's done by immersion. So, point one, it authenticates identification with Jesus as Messiah. That's very clear what you see back there in Matthew chapter 3. Once again, Matthew chapter 3. Where we have in the verses here, we could pick it up in verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Before we go on, notice how many people you think that was? A dozen? Says Jerusalem, all Judea, that's the region, and the region, all Judean region, thousands. So the Christian movement started off as a Baptist movement.
Amen. Right.
Started off as a Baptist movement. So what would you call somebody who's been baptized by John the Baptist? Oh, a Lutheran. Okay, I got that. No. What would you call them? All right. So then, notice in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So all this identified these people who were baptized with Jesus as the Messiah. They identify with Jesus as Messiah. That's what baptism does. It authenticates. Authenticates. we'll look at 1 Peter a little bit later on. Let's look at point two here. It demanded prior repentance. So we see in this passage as well. Prior repentance. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. So what would be a fruit of repentance on their part? Well, verse 9 explains it. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, they thought they were right with the Lord because they were Jews. They could trace their heritage all the way back to Abraham. Since I am a Jew, traced back to Abraham, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm going to inherit heaven. Everything's good because of my physical genealogy. That's not the case at all. They needed to have fruit meat of repentance by thinking not that they're saved through being in the lineage of Abraham, but they're saved by repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus as Messiah. How fast does it take to have that fruit? It could be instantaneous. Oh, I'm a sinner. I need Christ as my Savior. It wouldn't take weeks and years for this fruit of repentance. It could be immediate. So anyway, we have it demanded prior repentance. Also there in Mark 1:4. So Mark 1:4 says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. So the baptism of repentance. So what's that mean? It means that repentance is required for the baptism, and which remits sin. That is the repentance is man's side of receiving the remittance of sins from God's side, called the baptism of repentance. It's what we practice here. We baptize people, but only when they have repented of their sin and trusted Christ as Savior. That's a biblical mode. Now, You say, no, I don't think that's what that means. Well, look in Acts chapter 2 or Acts chapter 16 or Acts chapter 9. I mean, look at these passages. The Apostle Paul trusted in the Lord, and 3 days later he was baptized. But he's called brother before he's ever baptized. I mean, there's numerous examples of this. So make sure your theology lines up with all the scriptures here. All right, and then notice as well when the Lord said there in 1:15, Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Notice what he says here, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's salvation. So salvation is conversion. Conversion means to turn from sin. Sin's over here. I turn in repentance from sin. And immediately, I can't turn instantaneously without turning in the other direction to faith in Christ. That's regeneration. That's repentance. That's salvation. We turn from sin to Christ instantaneously. It's not one act and then another. Although repentance precedes faith, it is a turning that occurs all at once. It's a conversion. Called regeneration. That's called salvation. This is what the Lord said there. Here he brings together, repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn from God, turn from sin and turn to the Lord and the gospel message. Scripture's clear there. Lord Jesus said that. All right. So let's look at one final point here. It had divine authority. Let's look there in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 4. So the Lord Jesus asked a question here. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? So there's the question. Was it from heaven or of men? Now, first of all, it wasn't of men because, as I mentioned, there's no Old Testament antecedent of washing. It was not a tradition of the Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted it, but it was not their tradition. So the baptism of John, where did it come from? It came from the Lord. It did not come from man. It came from the Lord. Now, so notice we don't struggle with that. But the Pharisees struggle with that. And they reason within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye not him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us. For they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was, noncommittal. So you see, what are you going to do with John the Baptist and his baptism from heaven? So what are you going to do with John the Baptist and his baptism from heaven? You can either say, all right, I'm going to identify. No, I'm going to reject. Or I'm not going to answer. Well, someday you have to answer. Yes.
Mark chapter 1, the attack is on John to put him in the Old Testament.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Verses 1 through...
One's a good starting place.
Right.
Let's look at 1. 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
What is that?
Yeah, the beginning. Beginning of the gospel.
New Testament.
New Testament era. He was prophesied, verse 2 and verse 3, prophesied Malachi 3, and verse 3 is Isaiah 40, verse 3. So John started out the Christian era.
Amen.
Started off the Christian era. Now, if he's in the Old Testament, whatever that may mean, then that means our Savior received Old Testament baptism, whatever that means. And we're to follow in the steps. So how do we get this Old Testament? I mean, the whole thing falls apart. All falls apart. So, Mark likes these crisp little nuggets. His gospel's shorter, but he cites the Lord and proves here in this way. But John's baptism. So, all right, for the Christianity and as a whole, who hates the name, that bad, bad word, Baptist. All right. Christianity in general, what are you going to do with John the Baptist? Well, we'll stick him in the Old Testament. All right. What are you going to do about the Lord receiving John the Baptist's baptism? Well, he must have had Old Testament baptism. Oh, so you're Old Testament Christian. Is that what you are? What's that mean? It means nothing. So what are you going to do with John the Baptist? What are you going to do with John the Baptist's baptism coming from heaven? So we're not going to give up that name. We're not worshiping a man. We're worshiping who the forerunner pointed to.
Amen.
We're worshiping him. But we want to use biblical terms. So we have a biblical term. All right. So we're not Protestants. We're independent Baptists who identify with the heritage that the Lord has given us through history, but also biblically. We'll talk more about that. But anyway, through history, there have been people who have identified with believers' immersion. They've been called different names, but ultimately it all goes back to baptism. Is baptism save, or is baptism authentication of prior salvation? That's what the issue is all about. And people who want to back away are confused at this point, and they are not biblical. We're biblical. We want to be biblical. We want to use a biblical name, so we do. All right, so we'll pick this up next time. Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the time we've had to open the Word of God. Pray that you help us have conviction in biblical names that you've given and identify with biblical truth, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.